Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 5th of October, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. It's a Wednesday, boy. I live in the good life. I'll be honest with you all, I have a little hog plum hangover. Collecting hog plum this year has been a little difficult with the rain. If you weren't able to tend your tree to go and harvest every day, you may have lost the vast majority of your plums. Plum trees are very delicate and need lots of attention, so don't leave your plum tree in the bush by itself. Lonely, go and visit it every day and pick a few plums. It is Wednesday. That means it's a new caller Wednesday. And so what I'd like to do is for roughly the first portion of the show, ask the regular callers to hold off just for a moment. And as we progress through the show, if we don't get a lot of new callers, if we don't get any new callers, I'm going to open it up to everybody. There are two things I want to talk about this morning. First, one of them, of course, is the BPL statement on fuel charge amendments. And the second thing is to talk about briefly the increasing violence on our streets and in our public spaces. This is troubling. It's troubling. It's gone from the, what you call, like, you want to laugh, but you realize how serious the matter is. You realize that you can't really crack a joke about it. We need to be very, I want to say, mature, sensible, but we need to moderate our speech, the way that we engage these issues sometime. I was shocked to hear that there was an alleged attack by a PI resident during a disconnection exercise, attack of a BPL worker. I want to talk about BPL today, and it made me realize that I also have to moderate my engagement on this issue and my critique. You know, while I try to use political satire to engage some of these issues, there are some people out there that may not really understand what satire is, how it operates, and they may feel emboldened, right, to work out their frustrations on BPL staff members. This is an important point to make. I'm not sure if the powers that be truly understand the impact of their actions or inactions on the Bahamian public and the consumer. You know, I don't think these people at the top realize how frustrated the average Bahamian is with this energy crisis. But see, if you start to talk about it in proper terms, right? First of all, let's call it what it is, an energy crisis. Let's start calling it that. I was pleased in the Prime Minister's address to see him reference, even if only briefly, the archipelagic nature of the country and how that impacts the provision of this most basic service. It's very brief, but I'm impressed. I don't know, you know, paying attention, but for years I've said, as a politician, you want to impress me. Make sure that when you're talking about an issue, you also touch on the aspect, this aspect that we're an archipelagic nation, and how will you deliver these services equally and equitably to everyone in the archipelago. Let me give you guys the phone lines. Numbers this morning to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. So BPL announces increase to monthly fuel charge, and that was the headline in yesterday's Guardian, if you want to grab some quick details on the story. The government has announced, BPL has announced that they have a phased rate increase on your fuel surcharge. It comes along as a part of your electricity bill. And if you don't know, your monthly charge consists of the basic rate, right? And that's what, like kilowatt hour? And then the fuel charge. So it's like you pay for the electricity, and then you pay for the fuel required to generate the electricity. Like, I would love to stick a pin there, because for the life of me, I can't figure out why I would pay for the electricity and the provision, right? Like, you for the electricity itself and the process of bringing it to my house. All of that is one thing. Why would I then have to pay a separate charge for the cost of the fuel? I know a lot of people are going to say, well, that's an international standard. I'd be honest with you, if I were a citizen of any nation, other nation than the Bahamas, I would be asking my government the same question, right? Why am I paying for electricity and then I'm also paying for the fuel to generate the electricity? Now, one of the things the Prime Minister said in his statement was, and it's a quote, and third, the VAT ceiling for electricity will now be raised from $300 to $400, so no VAT will be due on bills up to $400. And what I want to know is, if a fuel surcharge is like a tax, is it, and let me put a question mark there, technically, is it a tax? And if it is a tax, why are you taxing an already taxed product? Let's stick a pin there. I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. I am so sorry, caller. You only been there for a couple of seconds. I apologize. But if you have less than a minute to hold on, please let the producer know that you are on a cell phone, or like, listen, I at work and I don't have long to hang up. I'm going to need to get connected right away. We could work with that. Right, so in the Prime Minister's statement that you can find on the website of the Office of the Prime Minister, and it is, in case you want to search it online, you would search statement by Honorable Philip Davis Casey, MP, Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, concerning the increase in fuel tariff being introduced by Bahamas Power and Light. In that statement, he says, and I'm going to repeat, and third, the VAT ceiling for electricity will now be raised from $300 to $400, so no VAT will be due on bills up to $400. Again, why are we still taxing taxes? And then just a question of clarity. Is this on my... if my monthly bill is under $400, I won't have to pay VAT? Or is it like the cumulative bill? Right? So my monthly bill is well under $400. I just don't like to pay it on time. And I'm now in arrears of like $500, $600. Will I have to pay VAT on that? And what if I bring my entire bill under $400, right? So I made a payment that attracted the VAT, and now I'm below $400. Y'all not going to keep charging me VAT, right? Like, in the system, you're going to fix it so I don't continue to pay VAT because I paid it once before. I just want to make sure. The statements, both the Prime Minister's statements and BPL statements, are very interesting. I can read from them today because I got a couple of questions. So the Prime Minister is quoted as saying, "We made the decision to postpone the increase and keep the charge low as long as possible, given the hardship Bahamian households were facing after so many difficult years in a row, and given other inflationary pressures." And so the question I had was, is this the right decision? If you take a look at today's Guardian, you go to National Review, written by Candia Dames, there is a, that is the focus of her column this morning, the BPL rate increase decision. And her header is, "PM's decision to kick BPL can down the road blows up for consumers." And so the question is, was this the right decision to postpone the increase and keep the charge low as long as possible? And if that was the actual, if that was the decision, right? This isn't actually a delay because of bureaucracy or procedures and processes. You made a decision to postpone the increase. Why you didn't tell us with clarity and with certainty when you made the decision to postpone what to expect in the future? Because you iterate clearly that, you know, these decisions are made to minimize the burden on the Bahamian people. But you don't think that doing the work as quickly as possible and letting us know to expect not just an increase, but a phased increase over quarters, right, over months, was on the horizon? And let me take this moment to point out a peculiarity in our public spaces. Because a lot of people are going to say, if you didn't know, you didn't want to know. If you wasn't thinking about it, if you didn't, you didn't want to know. But here's what really happens. Government actors and agents, MPs, cabinet ministers and whatnot, they speak regularly to civic organizations like the Rotary Club, you know. And they share lots of information with particular sectors of the society. And the question is that information being effectively disseminated from those spaces to the general public? I would like to say that I know with certainty, I'd like to say that is one of the purposes of these vehicles, these mechanisms, these Rotarian lunches, these Chamber of Commerce lunches, that they share the information with you, and then you share the information with your members, and then through your programs, you share the information with the wider public. And what the government expects is that in that process, you develop mechanisms to help people deal with whatever the issue is on the table. So a lot of people are going to say, like, if you didn't know, you didn't want to know. But if we didn't know, it's because you didn't tell us. And another question on the issue of whether postponing the increase was the right thing to do: are we certain the global economy isn't still unstable? Because there is more conflict unfolding around the world. And not just like African people conflict, because, you know, the world don't really care about that. But North Korea's testing missiles, shot one straight over Japan. People are very concerned. The question is, has the instability or uncertainty in the global market subsidized to the point where now is the time to begin the phased rate increase? Another quote. In fact, let me share these numbers again. What time is it? It is 10:20. You could call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4255. 9. The text line is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. So let's get back to the Prime Minister's speech. Introducing the increase at this time of the year coincides with lower electricity consumption. True, it is definitely getting cooler. But we are also approaching peak tourist season, which means that while there is a lower demand from the Bahamian public, there may be a larger demand from the major hotels. And how will Airbnb traffic, because these are now beds in residential areas, how will they be impacted? And then the question remains, will we be paying more money to experience more blackouts with the increase in hotel stays? And here's another quick note. This time of year, we're leading into the Christmas season. Can we get a white paper maybe? Is there a consumer protection agency who would write a paper for us on the impracticality of importing electric stoves, all electric stoves, in a country with a 30-plus year electricity crisis? Could we have some? Why? Why? Why can't we find a dealer, a vendor, who's making gas stoves and ensure that we have a clear channel? Because we got an energy crisis. And the government could say what it wants. BPL could say what it wants. Yes, we're moving to solar. Oh, yes, we have generator upon generator upon generator to meet the needs. But without the improvements in the transmission and distribution system, what do those investments mean to the person that's in the community with a poor distribution system? A community like mine, where there are small power surges all the time, visible in your home through your lighting system. All right, let's go to another quote from the Prime Minister's statement. During this interim period, the government decided to provide support for BPL operations for an interim period, close quote. Now, you know how the Prime Minister said interim period there? Like, do you think he is trying to placate me, make me feel better, right? By emphasizing and reiterating that this is only going to be for an interim period. Like, this is only going to be for a short time. And so I need to ask the Prime Minister directly, you do mean temporary increase, right? When you say interim period, you do mean temporary increase, right? Like, at some point, there will be a decrease. Now, I see in the schedule, if you go to BPL's website, if you go to their Facebook page and look for the announcement at the press conference, there's also a link to the actual press statement. And on that press statement, you will find a chart listing the, highlighting the phased increase, the time periods, and the amount of money, that will be added. This is very interesting. So, it's temporary, right, Prime Minister? A. B. I know you can. So the question is, will you tell us exactly how the money will be spent, generated from the fuel surcharge increase, to, quote, provide support for BPL, close quote, in their time of need? And lastly, so you're providing support for BPL. So BPL is going to win, right? They're going to benefit. Let me not just say win. They're going to benefit from lower fuel costs and from increased fuel surcharge? Question mark. Let's stick a pin. I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Is it all right? I call if
Yes, Raymond. It's 10:25. The new callers didn't call. It's okay with me. How you doing?
I'm holding. What I want to say, right?
Yeah.
I don't think... You think? Pardon me. I don't think that the Prime Minister is supposed to be charging us any more money because our tax money pays the BPL electricity bill. We pay that. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we're paying twice. So the Prime Minister are joking. Secondly, right?
Mm-hmm.
This footprint, right? What you would call what do you call it again?
Carbon footprint?
Carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
I need some more information on that. You see, because when the world is destroying itself, and then we got to help take care of the world to make sure certain parts are not being destroyed by our waters and stuff like that, we need some money. We need plenty of money because they're depending on us.
I got you. Oh, yeah.
But okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Raymond. Thank you very much. It's not just more money, right? Let's parallel this to the reparations conversation. It's not just the money. What is actually required is an acknowledgement that the systems that were used to create the problem are still in place. And if they're still in place and in play, then no amount of money can entirely eradicate or resolve the problem, right? So it's not just about giving us money to compensate us for what we do to fix their problems. It's about acknowledging that what they do is the problem, is detrimental to everybody, and there is no amount of money that can solve the problem or absolve them. See, that's the most important part. Or absolve them from their responsibilities and liabilities. All right, I got a text here. Great show as usual, Miss Green. The Tiefen gas tanks again, these unsaved black people. Well, I can tell you right now, if you come to try and teef my gas tank again for the third time, you're gonna die. This is not a threat. This is a warning. The way that my tank has been and my tank catchment system has been constructed, you run the risk of killing yourself if you try and teef it. This is a warning, not a threat. But, you know, by this time, Texter, I would have thought that the police would have a unit dedicated to gas tank thefts. All right, I will read the numbers again for you, Texter. The numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. And see, this is another consideration when we talk about the move from traditional fossil fuel and BPL electricity provision to solar and alternate power solutions. Please don't come into people them yard and teef their solar panels, the little windmills. Don't come in the yard and teef the batteries. You see what I'm saying? So moving to solar or alternate energy provision solutions requires a holistic cultural and behavioral shift, many, many different levels. And the question is, are we prepared for that? Another text, great show as usual. Since BPL going up, Miss Green, while you ain't home, the neighbors might have their drop cord to your outdoor outlet using their AC. That's a vibe, eh? That's a vibe. But don't let them know what I do. Like, you snitching on us, man. Another text, good day, Miss Green. That's how it's done in the Bahamas. Pay custom and then have to pay VAT for paying. Get your money from the bank and pay VAT for your money. It's just robbery. Listen, if I hadn't changed my life, I'd have been trying to figure out how to VAT on everything. Not just tags. The collage them boys. Not just tags on everything. This government favorite song is VAT on everything, VAT on everything, VAT on everything. Could have been a hit. All right, again, let me repeat those numbers. 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Please call, because don't mind me. I love talking about BPL. I don't love talking to BPL because my feelings are still hurt since that former board tell us that they're not entertaining any questions from the public. My feelings still hurt, but I would like to talk about them. Producer, I see a caller on the line there. We can get to you in a second. Caller. So the fourth point. There you go. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning. I am sorry. Don't go anywhere, caller. I can't hear you. Oh, okay. You ain't there yet, eh? No problem. So, back to the Prime Minister's statement. Here's another quote. First, those who consume less, and a great many households fall in this category, will see a lower increase of 2 cents instead of 4.3 cents per kilowatt hour. So the rate increases if you are using under 800 kilowatt hours a month, then you only increase to 2 cents. But if you are using more than 800 kilowatt hours per month, the surcharge increases to 4.3 cents. I got a lot of questions about that. First of all, is it fair? Is it fair to charge consumers a different price based on the rate of consumption? See, because I'm already going to pay more money if I consume more. Why am I being charged more? Because I consume more. Now, if you're going to tell me, oh, well, this is about conservation and shifting culture, right? About shifting culture, then I'm going to say, did you ask me, do I consume a lot because I need to, or, you know, because I want to and I'm lazy, or do I consume this much because I have to? Like maybe I have diabetics in my family whose medication needs to be refrigerated constantly. So I need a separate fridge for their medicine and for their food from the rest of the household, right? And then the next question is it legal? Now, I'm asking that question because I'm not sure we really, really care about that. I mean, at a governmental level, because it's like we forget just because we sort of kind of create the laws, that doesn't mean that we get to sort of kind of flaunt the laws. Producer, I got a caller on the line, yeah? Okay. Caller.
Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, just was enjoying just listening to you and the callers.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Coffee, are you saying that, it sounds like on the news, it's saying that if our bill don't go over $400, we don't have to pay no water on it.
Right, yes.
But I just want to say thanks. I think they say this to be $300, and you know, some of our light bills go over $300 a month.
Yeah.
I wish it wasn't paying no water at all on the electricity, right?
Yeah.
But since they cared up to $400, I want to say thanks.
Yeah. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, Ms. Green, tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're celebrating Teachers' Day around the world.
Well, that's what it sounds like. Hey, I missed the announcement, but I heard the teachers on Morning Blend with Dwight Strawn and Chester.
Yeah.
This
you
is
know,
awesome.
Been, I just want to say, celebrate the teachers also.
Uh-huh.
Despite that, we are bad apples in all professions.
Yeah.
It's room for improvement. Not all the teachers doing a great job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
The majority of them, I could say.
Listen.
I believe,
and
take that profession because they know it's. How you say it's priceless, or you can never pay them enough for what they be doing. They help to manufacture, or to say, to bring us up with the responsibility what our parents supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
I didn't want to say thanks to them, and not just the Bahamian teachers here, but internationally, and especially the foreign teachers will be up here in the Bahamas, will be teaching our parents and us for years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one Mr. Morgan to C.I. Gibson, Mr. Rosby. I don't know if these people done die, but I know these people, them is good teachers, them who are part of the majority of good teachers would be celebrating internationally. Like I say, Mr. Rosby, Mr. Morgan, Mr. Bancroft, Nick Bancroft,
mm-hmm.
teach us science.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. I just want to celebrate them, you know.
Yes.
But then pass away, Aaron.
Yes, man. This is the thing. And I was going to say, even, you know, with the majority of teachers, except for the predators, right?
Yeah.
Even some of the teachers who are not performing as well.
We're trying to do high five just now. You know, we got to make sure.
Oh, yes.
They understand. We ain't talking about them. We talking about the good set.
You had zero tolerance for predators and zero tolerance for predator people who go into the system to prey.
Yes.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
You're talking about the swimming thing. With, I think it could be, I don't know if it's mandatory. They should make it mandatory. Then there was, I think some things, them, like you know, the young guys and the young ladies them right now, we need to make some things mandatory that we could save some of these children, because it's like we have a responsibility to do.
Yeah.
The teachers can't do everything.
You're right, and
you get one next one down there by Sadie Kidd's Primary School, Miss Davis.
Uh-huh.
Some hardworking teachers down there. I don't want to start calling names or call no particular school,
mm-hmm.
because all of them, like I said, the majority of them, they deserve credit. The president of the teachers union, Miss Melinda Wilson, I like how she's work hard for the teachers. That's why she keep winning.
But listen.
At the court right now. She's a hard-working person for the teachers. It's priceless what we pay them. That's why I hate to hear them have to go downtown and making noise and protesting that we ain't paying them enough. They be spending their own money on our children.
Listen,
thank God for them. But
they cooking food. They decorating classroom. They teaching
the
fun.
And microwave in the class, warming up our children.
Soup
and different things. Them going to the shop and spending their money buying things for our children.
Right.
And we around here ain't want to do our part. And then we have to create these monsters, them and thing, and the police have to shoot them down like dog. We talking about why the police? But you're, hey.
Exactly.
Hey, celebrate the teachers. Thank God for them. Congratulations to all of the teachers, them all over the world, not just here in the Bahamas, and especially our foreign teachers from all over the Caribbean, Jamaican, all over the place, and
yeah.
England, and
yeah.
Canada. You all keep up the good work.
Thank you,
Ms. Green.
Absolutely. I can try to do next week, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, we got to do a teacher appreciation show, man. You're absolutely right. Good morning to Mrs. Woods from QC. And all the staff, and, you know, may he rest in peace. Reverend Charles Sweeting from QC, Mr. and Mrs. Roberts from QC, even at St. Anne's, the teachers, anyway, all of the schools have just excellent teachers who've dedicated their lives to supporting young people, and this is a good thing. We need a whole day for it. Good morning, caller, you're on the clock. Sorry, we missed you. Good morning, caller.
But I want to comment on BPL.
Yes, sir. That's where we are.
Yeah. Here they go on, what is it, $300 million on this first charge. I mean, on the oil bill, right? BC, it's be well over $300 million on the oil alone a year.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's the point.
Mm-hmm.
When they had a chance to get out of the oil, they went and bought these generators to run off oil again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is at the time they could have gone on LNG. They refused to go on LNG on us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the point. Our bills don't have to be this high.
Mm-hmm.
Had BC been bringing in their own oil, it would have been cheaper. What's happening, that $300 million, but $100 million of that goes to the middleman. And I think the public knows who's the middle people. And that ain't going nowhere soon. So we could be stuck with this high light bill for a long time to come. We ain't gonna see no LNG. Trust me.
Well, listen, I want the state to speak to us with some clarity. I think it's important for us to understand that while we as individual homeowners are clamoring and desperate to move to solar, like I could put a few panels on my roof till I could go off grid. There's a threshold, and if BPL loses a certain number of customers, right, then
yeah.
BPL going to fold.
Yeah, but you see, they don't have to lose. No, all you have to do is instead of running off oil,
mm-hmm.
run off LNG. You see, With the solar, you have too much different components. You see, they just going to put that solar to Ragged Island.
Yeah.
And I don't know who put it in. But if you can go solar, get the right people, like Florida Power and Light. They have solar here.
Yeah, Let them come and install it here. Yeah.
You know, you can't go get any willy-dilly. But I say that to say that to you. When we talking, you're in the sea because there are some people who are getting rich off this oil on us. And they don't care. And they can continue getting rich. And that is the problem here. You imagine if, okay, let me say this. One time, DEC used to bring in their own oil. They had no middleman. DEC had their own oil tanker.
But look here, when's the last time you seen DEC? BC gone missing, like what's Eric Minnis say? If you can't find your friends in Nassau, they in Freeport, or they in jail. Where BC is? All I hear about is BPL.
Yeah, but like I say, don't mind that name change.
Uh-huh.
That's what's happening around here. They sell BC.
Thank you, sir.
But they have the mill. They have the mill man. You imagine if $100 million we could save if they was bringing in their own oil. If you spending that kind of money, you could bring in your own oil and save the Bahamian public. Some money instead.
Absolutely.
Of you got the millman, he got to get his big cut, and that could be about $100 million for him alone.
Thank you very much.
This is things was happening around here.
Yes, I got another call on the line. Thank you very, very much. I just want you all to thank Corinne Mitchell for telling me that of all the things I could be in life, I could not be a middleman. I thought it was so easy. That's the place, the middle. That's where you want to be. Anyway, caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Hey.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, what's the problem is we need solutions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do, but it seems like the government is not trying to move forward in alternative energy. You know, like, because we got all this sea current and things. We don't even need solar panels. We can just put a solar, wind turbine.
Yeah. The hydroelectric. The
hydroelectric plant.
Yeah. The tidal systems, yeah.
It's a spot in Andes that has, like, a current running through there, like, maybe 30 miles per hour sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the BEC station is right there. Why we can't drop one right there in Power Andes?
And they got
in
a...
The current, the same thing. We got
in Current Island, right?
Like crazy.
Yeah, I was just about
That's
to
two
say...
Islands right there that can probably electrify all the North Bahamas.
Listen, I also wonder what's the holdback now. At the same time, remember a few weeks ago, well, earlier in the summer, I mentioned a story, I think, about Texas that was having a particular issue because there was no wind. And so they were unable to generate any power from their wind turbines for weeks, I think.
Well, just suggestions. Still, everybody complaining about the price. Let's go ahead and spend some money, get that done. And it'll be cheap in the long run.
Absolutely. I agree. I think we should have a multitude of options, wind, solar, because you can do wind and solar at both the national and the individual or community level. And
another question.
Yes,
sir. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
What about that panel out, those panels, a bunch of panels at the sports center? They're not even connected. Where all that money went to? For foolishness?
Hold on, those solar panels that they installed at the stadium are not connected? They're not running? They're not generating monies?
No, they're not.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna see if I could ask some questions about that. But, you know, it requires a cultural shift. And the biggest question is, does the government have the capacity, right? Is it possible for the government at this time to make that shift to solar? Right? Like to alternate energy. And it's not just, your office running off of alternate energy now. It's larger than that. It requires a greater shift. Let me get to the text line. Morning, Miss Green. I work in a major hotel and we haven't gotten a raise for over 10 years. Everything going up. Food, gas, BPL, building material, clothes, baby stuff, school fees. But not our paycheck. It's really depressing. And as a young man trying to take care of his family in an honest way. Now, here's what a part of the problem is, right? It'd be going way back. Like, we're going to go 30 years back from before you was born. Tourism used to be a seasonal thing. And there used to be an on-season and an off-season. And in the on-season, people would prepare for the off-season. Now, the beauty of the on and the off-season, right, is this. Is that in the on-season, when you're working for somebody else, you can generate the money to support yourself during the off-season, but you also can generate money to fund or seed a business, right? And so what I'm going to say to you is that in the absence of any movement on the hotel side, because you can't control that, what you can do is you can organize with your community, with your family members, with trusted people. And what you're going to do is you're going to form a co-op. You should have a business idea first, but you're going to form a co-op with your business idea. And you're going to use the money that you generate working in the hotel to begin an enterprise, right? To support yourself. And you're going to keep working until your business is your main, and this hotel business is what you do for kicks and tips. Text, tell them teachers, stop TikTok with the kids while in the classroom. Oh boy, that's another important topic. Man, text, that's a good text. You know, that's something to talk about. Because I'm not saying necessarily to stop TikToking, but we got to be very, very careful that we're using TikTok for the right reasons, right? And that when we're doing what we do, we understand the potential impact and minimize this content being used for something nefarious or problematic. Because any social media platform can be useful, can be helpful if we use it properly, if we use it to help people. Another text, great show as usual. Tell your, tell the texter that complaint is a joke. I work at an architectural firm for 23 years and I didn't get a raise in 15 years. Were you the boss? Like, were you the boss for the last 15 years? But doesn't it look like the Bahamian people? There's another text. BPL is taking advantage of the public and the Bahamian people for over 5 decades. The directors, past and present, God will deal with them, because it's a disgrace that they are producing these high bills on the poor citizens of this country. BPL interrupts your power in slight rainstorms, damages your equipment, continuous load shedding. BPL is unfair. God will deal with them. But let me tell you what is outrageous. What is outrageous is listening to administrative staff and board members argue over things like their salary, like they're not getting paid enough, or to listen to potential candidates and critiques and pundits talk about how you have to pay these people, you know, an international standard. Are they producing a product that meets international standards? So that's the thing over the last few decades that has gotten me. How could people at BPL at the administrative and executive level be demanding these high salaries when it's obvious that they are unable to deliver the product that they advertise and that they provide? Now, I ain't talking about the people who's being the bush and on the poles and in the streets, you know. I ain't talking about them. I'm not talking about the people who have to face the public, the front of the business. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about the people at the administrative and executive level, the people who would sit on a board and tell the public, we are not obligated to answer any of your questions. They even tell some of the most powerful civil society members, like the Chamber of Commerce, that we're not entertaining your questions. See, I haven't even gotten to Alstom. I got a long list here, you know. We only get through like half of the list of questions. I haven't even gotten to Alstom. See, because the leader of the opposition was engaged. He was speaking in the media last night. And the first thing I want to say is, I don't think the opposition, the FNM, should have anything to say until they answer some questions about Alstom. And the member of the board that was convicted It matters due to Alstom. Right? But further to what I heard last night, I just want to say to Mr. Pintard that what we need is more politics than policy. I mean, less. My bad. I was thinking the politician said we need less politics and more policy. That's what we need. More policy and governance and less politics. Because you got questions to answer to about BPL and Alstom. But you did say a good thing. You did ask a good question. And so I'm going to now ask my questions based on that. So what I want to know is, was IRCA approval required for this process of the, you know, implementing a phased increase in the fuel surcharge? Was IRCA approval required? Was it sought? Was it given? Are the results or the process, that decision-making process, will they be published for the public to see? Another question, the Prime Minister's indicated that this is a temporary fuel surcharge increase. I want to ask, can you put that in legislation form? Could you pass a law? Could you put that in legislation? With an indication of when it's going to go down, and what will it go down to? See, that's the next thing. Will the rates return to the rates that we had on September 30th, 2022? And that leads me to another question, BPL and Prime Minister and Minister of Works. You may not have noticed it, but a large number of people were concerned at the extent to which their electricity bill jumped over the last couple of months. This is before you indicated that we were going to have a phased rate increase. Like, you all announced this Monday or Tuesday, and the first rate increase is October 1st. You know, there's a difference between a phased rate increase policy and timely and reasonable notice of rate increase? Because in this press statement, Prime Minister, and in the BPL statement, y'all it seems as if you're trying to give me the impression that the phased increase is in an attempt to help us prepare for the ultimate, right, the highest price possible. But announcing, like on the 3rd, that the rate increase on the 1st is not preparation. That's not the same thing. That's not preparation at all. Producer, I think we got a call on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Caller, you still there? I apologize if I miss you. We've got 6 minutes left, so let's call that 4 minutes left. The numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Thank you, producer. I almost forgot. We got to go to a break. Like I told y'all, I don't like talking to BPL, but I like talking about them. Stay tuned. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
You just got bumped up. Bundle Fiber customers enjoy up to 3 times the speed increase for free. That means if you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle, or the Extreme 100 TV Max bundle, or even the Extreme 150 Plus Talk 24/7 Plus TV Max bundle, your internet speed just went to 300 megabits per second. Nothing to do, just keep doing you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket.
Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green and we're talking about BPL fuel surcharge rate increase. Wow. Okay. Dead Texas. Good morning. I may be off topic, but I have a burning issue. Why at a state funeral would congregants be overreaching to shake the prime minister's or other ministers' hands while they are exiting the church? One person can be heard saying to the PM, I'm going to call you. Where's the reverence? I blame the PM and others for acknowledging these persons. Dear texter, this is a very serious issue. Thank you for the text. Because the answer is because protocol is only for poor people and unimportant people. That's why. But at the same time, because people want to feel important, you know, that's why, that's all. People want to feel important, and they don't get to see the prime minister because he have gatekeepers. And so when you see him, you ask him everything you have to ask him. But I appreciate what you're saying at a church, you know. But when people can't rely on systems, we talked about that yesterday, when they can't rely on systems to do what they ought to do, we tend to corrupt the way we are doing things, and that's okay. Okay, very quickly before the end of the show, like I said, the actual schedule of the phased increase is on the BPL website, but just know that if your consumption is under 800 kilowatt hours per month, then this first increase is going to be from 11.95 cents per unit or 10.95 cents per unit to 12.5 cents. And then from December, so that's October 1st to November 30th, from December 1st to February 28th, 2023, the increase will be from 12.5 cents to 14.5 cents. From March 1st to May 31st, it's going to be 16.5 cents. From June 1st to August 31st, 18.5 cents. September 1st to November 30th, 18.5 cents. And then December 1st to February 28th, 2024, it will drop back down to 17 cents. This is important to know. But as we close the show, here's something else you got to know. Here's a message from BTC. BTC bundle customers, you just got a free speed bump. That's right, the fastest and most reliable fiber internet in the Bahamas is now up to 3 times faster for free. Here's how we're bumping up your current speeds. If you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle, your speeds are going from 100 Mbps to 300 Mbps. If you have the Extreme 100 Plus TV Max bundle, you're going from 100 to 300 Mbps. And if you have the Extreme 150 Plus Talk 24/7 Plus TV Max bundle, you're jumping from 150 to 300 Mbps. Nothing to do? Just keep doing you. Dear Bahamas, thank you for tuning in on the clock today. Tomorrow, we've got 2 sets of guests. It's going to be great. It's going to be junk or new fantastic. Anyway, you guys stay tuned because Cecil Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.